We've moved up the road for the day to Liverpool's Wood Street to FACT, the Foundation for Art and Creative Technology, from where we're broadcasting today's programme. Partly because FACT is celebrating its 10th birthday as one of Britain's top centres for new media art, with a special exhibition called Turning FACT Inside Out, where art and politics collide. Turning FACT Inside Out involves a group of international artists whose work looks at the environment, architecture and capitalism. After 12, we'll be talking about one of the exhibitions in particular that recreates an indoor fracking site complete with earth tremors and flames, and I'll be joined by the artists who produced that work. We'll also be hearing from the chief executive of the energy firm iGas and campaigners against fracking, and we want to hear from you. So ring in about that if you want, 01517099333, email roger.phillips@bbc.co.uk or text 81333 with Mersey in front of your text. But in this first half hour, it's the generality of the artists, if you like, and I'm joined by Jen Chapman and some of the artists who are turning FACT Inside Out. Jen, 10 years in the building, you look far too young. Just explain the importance that FACT is to Liverpool.
Well, FACT was really a great turning point for Liverpool's cultural and artistic scene because it was something brand new to the city and something we're very, very fortunate to have here. We're all about bringing people, art and technology together, and we've been really fortunate to do that over the last 10 years, particularly with the amount of technological change that's happened. So YouTube didn't exist when we arrived, Facebook didn't exist when we arrived. So it's been really exciting to track those changes and work with people through that as well.
Yeah, I remember when it started, it was video. It was just videos. That's all there seemed to be. Now you're full of different kinds of equipment.
Yeah, so we're doing all sorts of different things because we're trying to stay on top of what's happening now. So, you know, recently we did a project with a group of older people in sheltered accommodation and introducing them to iPads and social media. And we do lots of exhibitions that really experiment with what's new, what's cutting edge. And this exhibition's a very good example of that.
Yeah, turning FACT Inside Out. What did Mike Stubbs, as a director of FACT, what did he say? How did he get the artists? Did he say to be as mad as you like or what?
Pretty much. So what we decided was, you know, it's very typical when you're celebrating an anniversary to maybe look back at your last 10 years or do a retrospective exhibition. We felt that that didn't suit us. That wasn't what we wanted to do. We actually wanted to look to the future. So we invited a group of artists from all over the world to look at our building with new eyes and really experiment with it and really explore the building and challenge what we can do in the building. And what we're trying to look at is how might we do exhibitions in the future? So how might they break out of gallery spaces and be in the streets of Liverpool? And how might they also be online so people can access it anywhere?
Yeah, actually sitting next to you is Will Pappenheimer, who's doing exactly that. You're taking... Well, really, the building's irrelevant to your artwork, isn't it, Will?
That's well put, yes. We are working with a very, very new technology. I work with a collective with Tomiko Thiel, Sander Wienhoff, Mark Squarick, John Craig Freeman, and John Cleeter, and we all use augmented reality, which is a brand new technology which allows you to create three-dimensional sculpture and put it into the real world.
You writing, I don't really understand this. You're called Manifest AR, the group of you. You can write in the sky or something.
Absolutely. As you say, boundaries, physical boundaries are uncharted for us. So you can do very large projects like write in the sky from your iPad. You can plant flowers by walking down the street. You can erase buildings by touching the surface of the iPad and so on.
So what happens? People will come here to see your exhibition, but then we'll be sent out with some technology.
Yes, some of the projects involve, of course, the whole city of Liverpool, and some of them are here. So, but the technology is available through your cell phone, through a simple program app called Layer. And then if you search for FACT and for some of the projects involved, we also have QR codes. You can see them anywhere in the city.
And you literally can walk around the city, get a picture of whatever it is you've got, and then delete what you don't like.
Well, that's one of the projects, yes, is deleting everything around FACT, if not FACT itself.
That really is turning FACT inside out, blowing it up, getting rid of it. That's really stretching the boundaries, Will. It sounds fun. And actually, that's what interests me about all the exhibits that I've seen. They're quite fun, Jen.
Yeah, it's there's no point doing it unless it's fun, unless people get something out of it. And what we want to do is make people think a little bit differently and maybe try something that they haven't tried before.
Yeah, certainly something intrigued me. When you come into FACT, there's a tent on the right-hand side as you walk in. Now, the tent's been created by Nian Reg. Just explain about Nian, because there's something in there that I've not seen before.
The tent, I've bought the tent into FACT because the idea of a 10th anniversary for a building intrigues me. It makes me wonder if there will be a building for New Media Art in 10 years' time. I think in my own position, I have reconsidered the permanence of all buildings in the city. So architecture as a word arises from the Greek, which means the weaver of the threads. And the original architecture, the original technology, of course, was sticks and string. So we've built a stick and string superstructure and tensioned a tent off it, pulling the tent upwards instead of downwards. So we've reversed how the tent works. Excuse me. And the tent provides a little intimate space for people to share their thoughts with my 10 Intentions website and with other people that come down to talk about one of 10 subjects per week that'll be discussed and become part of a kind of online interchange. So if you imagine people coming into the tent and sitting on a log, which is a very old thing, and then using the most up-to-date voice recognition software to tell their stories or to reflect on their city or their lives, and that'll become part of like a kind of mixtape of people's thoughts for the next 10 years. So the tagline is, the future is coming, what do you want it to be like?
Yeah, I mean, that's the bit that intrigued me, and I haven't used it yet, but the bit where you, rather than typing in your stuff, you speak your stuff, and apparently it will come up, and it will, and you kind of give, there are about 10 or so different sort of subjects that you want us to talk about.
Yeah, so this week, inside of the tent, we'll be talking about change. And we've put a text up, which is by Sully Breaks, who's done a spoken word piece. Anyone can see it on YouTube. And he's talking about the value or not of current educational practice. Now, we're hoping that when people see that, they'll come in and they'll think, well, I have something to say about that. Everyone has something to say, as we've seen through the expansion of blogging and tweeting and Facebooking. So I'm very interested in what happens at this point in our technological trajectory, where you can think and speak almost immediately what you're thinking into the blog sphere. So people can, you can talk to the phone or to the iPad, and what you've said more or less comes up in writing. It's up to you if you correct it. It mishears. It's as foolish as a human. It will mishear you and say the wrong thing, which can be quite entertaining. But the transfer of thought into mechanical writing is something that artists have been interested in for about 100 years, and now we can do it. What are we going to do? What do we want the future to be like? I dread to think.
If it's about education, I assume you've invited Michael, Mr. Gove, to come down.
Everyone is welcome. Michael can log on. He can log on to the 10 Intentions website. Anybody, you can contribute distantly, or you can contribute through the iPad or through your own mobile device on site, in FACT. But there are lots of oppositional viewpoints all expressed in different areas of blogging, and what this umbrella 10 Intentions hopes to do is kind of compile them into some sort of stew, if you like. So, for example, if you're talking about education, you could talk about that in growth, in the week of growth. You could equally talk about that in the week of justice or in the week of power. And you can file what you've said about education in any or all of those categories. And the more categories you choose, the more colourful the website becomes. It's all quite lovely, beautiful summer colours. It's fitting in with the holiday theme that you kind of get off the tent, really.
Okay. We'll hear more from Nina as well, because when we talk about fracking later on, she's going to be participating in that. But I've been getting fit this morning because I've gone into another artwork where you pedal like mad, but it's a really exciting artwork. I love it. Sergio Galan from Uncoded Collectors, the man behind it. Just explain exactly why I've been cycling today.
In that installation, while you cycle, you control a video that I recorded within Liverpool and also in Madrid. So as you move, the video advances and you start kind of visiting parts of the city that you maybe didn't know or didn't expect to visit.
And you run Madrid into Liverpool into Rotterdam as well?
Yeah, Rotterdam will be present in the future, but for now it's only Madrid and Liverpool. And basically the idea is to merge places that are similar, or because in Europe probably all the countries have experienced the same transformation between industrial areas. So most of the cities have this kind of controversial places or places that have been changed during the last year. So those are the places that I merged. So you are kind of jumping between these similar places in different cities.
Yeah, I mean, the area that I was aware of when I was doing recycling is down the Baltic area, where there has been a decline, and actually it's recovering artistically. Now, I don't know the Madrid bit, but it looked as though that was an industrial declining area.
I explored a different part of Madrid, but where I used to live, it was kind of the last industrial area in the center of Madrid. So there are still some factories that, the same as here, they were reconverted into cultural spaces or something like that. So it seems that all the cities are applying the same formulas to their reconversions.
You're a bit modest there, because it's not just cycling and the virtual travel. You actually, if you've got a smartphone with you, you can find out about where you're traveling.
Yeah, the idea is to connect different mediums. As we are connecting different cities, I connect also different mediums. So while you pedal, you receive also some information about what you are seeing on your mobile phone. So it's synchronized with your mobile phone, and also people which access to the FACT webpage online, they can see the same videos. So as you pedal, you make the people at their homes to see the same videos you're watching.
Now, did you know Liverpool at all before you came here?
Not at all. I came here like 5 or 6 weeks ago to do to record all the footage and work with local communities. So I didn't know anything about it, just the typical things that everybody knows about Liverpool. So that was my goal, to came here without knowing anything and then talk with people and learn about interesting places that I didn't know before, and then record with my bike around those places.
Because you definitely consciously didn't go to the normal tourist destinations, did you?
No, I think when many people visit a city, we usually tend to visit the same places that for some reasons are the places that you are supposed to visit. But most of them are kind of places that has some history but are not really representative of what the city is today. So yeah, I like to explore other cities other places that tell contemporary stories about the city now.
Have you always done this kind of technological work, or does your art take you in other directions as well?
I usually work with technology in the different things I do, so most of my work is about technology in public spaces and kind of some political or social issues. So I try to combine these things, some kind of advanced technological thing that I code or make, and some kind of issues I'm interested in.
Okay, now sitting next to you, and the last of the artists we're going to be talking to this morning is Katarzyna, I'm hoping I said that, right, Krakowiak. Is right, Katarzyna?
Krakowiak.
Okay, you're from Poland anyhow, that's the point.
Yes, I'm from Poland.
Now, you're doing something I haven't really heard yet, because you're turning the whole building into a listening device, is that right?
It's correct, yes. I'm trying to listen to the building, especially the function of the building, because the whole architecture is really focused on function. And so I was study the whole function of the building and trying to get my sound and put it to the gallery. So inside the gallery, it's some kind of architecture composition, which give you a chance to listen the whole building.
How do you mean listen to the whole building? For instance, what we're doing now, is that somehow getting into gallery two where you are?
Yeah, it's the whole, also the title is describing you, the shoot. It's inspired by modernistic architecture, and also the special communistic blocks where is located the shoots, the rubbish shoots. And this is some kind of way of bringing, let's say, object to one place. So I'm trying to take over the sounds from the staircase, evacuation staircase, also from the places where you are not allowed to go. There's only sound can get there. So I'm bringing this imagine about this space by sound.
So have you got microphones hidden around this building? And you're surreptitiously, there'll be a lot of worry about this, you're surreptitiously recording all these bits and pieces.
Yeah, I'm actually I'm very good with hidden equipment because actually in the gallery tour you really not recognize any speakers, any microphones, just pure architecture which is designed special for this piece.
So let me just be clear, is all the sounds that's happening all the moment within this building be going out at the same time as it happens in Gallery 2, or are you recording it and then mixing it in some way?
No, I'm not recording them, but it's some kind of mix. Of course, I work on the composition because the walls are changing shape of the sound. So this is like a collection of huge work, which is really based on this feeling of having a sound together in one space.
Do you always work with sound?
No, I'm working with architecture, and the sound is just the tool which is describing what is mean for me, architecture. No.
Did you study architecture at architecture school, kind of thing?
No, I'm study sculpture, and now I'm doing a PhD, which is based on architecture. And I'm working a lot with buildings. I just love the scale, one to one, which is. No, and sound is still is the best tool because people really not think about the acoustic rooms as a part of the building. So this is a part of the architecture.
Have you been to Liverpool before or not? Is this your first visit?
No, it's my third visit because I'm working really site specific. So I came here to really study the building, and I make a lot of drawings and trying to get. Try to understand what is mean this building for me.
And of course the title, Turning the Building Inside Out, Turning Fact Inside Out, that's exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm doing, and actually this is, I'm trying to do this all my life.
To turn buildings inside out?
Yes.
I'd love to see, I would love, if you are interested in architecture, I'd love to see some of your architecture work. Does it mean that you kind of, I mean the inside out building I know best, not the, I know, it's the Pompidou Center in Paris. Now, is that sort of what you're about?
Oh, this is so a hard question. I'm trying to always escape with this kind of questions, but...
But the outside of the building is what is normally on the inside of the building.
This is true, but somehow the modernism... I will be serious. So the whole, let's say, the modernism put us to really study modernistic room as a really space which is not presenting a construction on the, and the Pompidou is actually showing the construction outside, and this is something which I'm really trying to follow the exactly the moment which is not visible for the audience. Yeah, so we have
same thing, but not. The same thing, but not the obvious bits, the hidden bits, if you like.
Yeah, this is true. The sound is more monumental than we expect.
As an architect, a person of sorts, what do you think of Liverpool as a city?
Again, hard question. This is... I really study the center, and it's of course it's very hard to say why it's so. It's difficult for me to really say something more about urbanistic plan. But let's say about this building, I was a little bit shocked that this was designed in 2001. Yeah.
Yeah. Why in 2003? It was designed early 2000s. It was built 2003.
Somehow this focus of the function, which is really the whole building is designed to follow the function, was somehow surprised me. So I tried to study this by sound, and now I know more why it was designed this way. But it's for me really difficult to make some kind of critics about the buildings because this is my choice of the way how I want to speak about the architecture. I'm not designing new buildings. I'm trying to say something more by using different tools.
Okay, it's good to speak to you. And I just wanted to ask you, Sergio, what you thought. You've obviously looked at, talked at these people. What was your feeling about Liverpool when you came here?
At the beginning, it's kind of shocking to find so many, for instance, so many empty houses everywhere with with those banners outside. I don't know. I think I like quite a lot this kind of this big amount of industrial buildings and the way the people I'm talking with they feel about the city. Like it used to be much worse than it is now, and it's getting in the right direction. So some people, there's a kind of feeling of proud of the city. So yeah, I think it's I got a good surprise after visiting the city. I think it is much more interesting and lively than I expected before coming.
It's certainly that. One of the reasons it's lively, actually, is Nina. Nina is always making the city lively because she's always arguing, aren't you, Nina? It's if you talked about buildings there and empty buildings. That's very relevant to your life, not as an as an artist, but as a house owner.
Yeah, I'm interested in the number of people who visit Liverpool for the first time, and they are acutely aware of the empty houses, which we've discussed before. I suppose that it has impacted on my artistic practice enormously. It's 9 years since my house was threatened with demolition and my area was emptied out. So I've been living in a street with only three neighbours since 2004. And I suppose that the other reason for using the tent is to draw attention to the function of shelters of all kinds. This is a shelter for culture. It's particularly and specifically designed to accommodate the production and delivery of culture. But in terms of buildings as shelters, I'm acutely aware that there are very large numbers of people being moved out of solid structures into tents, either due to climate change or to political change or to economic change. So even in wealthy countries such as America, you have large numbers of people living in tents, in parking lots and in empty ground where there are no buildings. So the very issue that for us of having basic needs, of which shelter is a very primary need, and our ability to supply that need is already changing without very much discussion and without particularly very much forethought. So there are other architectural forms which I think will develop rapidly. There'll be barge housing, there'll be housing that floats, there'll be housing on legs. It seems obvious to be producing that kind of technology now, and because FACT is the centre for creative technology, I think FACT could engage usefully in that debate and in that development in building.
All right, you mentioned America, it brings me to Will again. Well, you've always done this kind of, excuse me for using this word, weird art, have you?
Well, of course, we don't think of it as weird. I was going to actually talk a little bit about, one of the projects and how it's connected to Liverpool, in the sense that one of the projects we're doing with Tomiko Thiel is called Biomer Skelters, and what it involves is Liverpool's history with botany, which goes way back to the mercantile days, and essentially the shipping industry brought plants from everywhere in the world. So in this particular project, we're actually connecting the user up to a heart rate sensor and involving biosensing. And when the person's heart rate reaches a certain sort of even keel, they start generating plants. And essentially, this is a very simple game in which the idea is you're either planting exotic and plants that might come in with the climate change, or you're planting plants that might be involved with a more conservation-based idea, let's say Merseyside Forest. So again, our experience with Liverpool has been this whole kind of connection to its mercantile days and to the idea that in this city, people, there's both a historical connection to plants and exotic plants as well as conservation, on the reverse side. So, and that has kind of brought that into the forefront. And essentially what people do as they walk down the streets is they plant fields of either native flowers or fields of exotic strange flowers floating in the sky and so on.
It sounds absolutely wonderful. Now, can you do that just by logging on with your smartphone, or do you have to come into FACT to get the info?
This is a project, because it involves biosensing and you putting on a sensor, it involves coming into FACT. And so I really would encourage people to come in. There'll be certain days in which the gallery assistant will, if you would like to volunteer, and it's very simple, will rig you up with a heart rate monitor, and you'll go out with them and plant the seeds of the streets of Liverpool.
How many exhibitions are you bringing? There's the writing in the sky, there's the planting of things, there's the getting rid of all the nasty buildings. How many have you brought?
Well, there's six projects with six or five or six artists. I'll mention another one is John Cleeter's, which is just as you walk in, there's a book. And as you turn the pages of the book, strange, interesting objects, weird objects, as you call them, pop up in front of your eyes and float around in front of you. Another very interesting one is John Craig Freeman's work, where he went out into the city and asked various people what they had lost, and then essentially recreated those objects virtually and put them in the places where people had lost them. That's called EEG, Things We Have Lost.
Yeah, I've seen that's on the big map of the city centre. I've seen that one. I've seen the one you referred to before with these drawings, and it is weird, but it's fantastic. Yeah. Now we're going to be talking about one particular exhibition after the 1 o'clock news. That's it's about fracking, as we said. But before that, I want to talk to Jen again a little bit, and to challenge you: is all of this art?
Of course it's art. Of course it's art. It's all, you know, we're all about pushing the boundaries of what people might typically describe as a piece of art. We don't put paintings on the wall at FACT, but we bring projects that make people think, make people question things. They might excite you. You might find it fun. They might make you sad sometimes. And that's all art.
How did you choose these particular artists? Each one is very different. Each one is really thinking outside the box. We're in the box of the art. But they're thinking really outside. How did Mike Stubbs get to choose these artists?
Well, it was really, I mean, the clue's really in what you've just said, Roger, which is about them all being very exciting artists, them all being provocative artists, them all challenging things and working with technology and doing things a little bit differently. And that was really what we were looking for. And we're really excited to have them all here in Liverpool.
You will get people coming in here and saying this isn't art, won't you? Will you be prepared to, will the artists who will be here be prepared to answer those questions?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we love those kind of conversations. But at FACT, we really believe in being a centre and a place where people can come in and have those kind of conversations, where they can talk about things that they might not have the opportunity to talk about elsewhere. And in particular, that's really why we have the fracking piece here, because we want to begin that sort of conversation, and we're always really open to hearing things like that and having that conversation with people as well.
What I like most about FACT, really, is not, in a sense, it's not the exhibitions. It's the fact it's a cinema at the top, and therefore people come in to see the latest James Bond film or whatever it is. But en route, they get a chance to perhaps see art they would never have seen before.
Absolutely, and that's very important. It's a very, very important part of our building. What we want is for when somebody comes into FACT, for them to experience something that they'll remember. We don't just want to be a building that just, you know, sells nice food and coffee. We don't just want to be a place where you can see a nice piece of art, and we certainly don't want to just be a cinema where you can go and see a film. It's about the whole experience of being at FACT, and it's a real resource for everybody, really, to come and just explore and come and find out new things.
What's nice as well is the interactivity, particularly the interactivity of Nina's piece. I mean, they're all interactive in one way or another, but that people can actually come here and take part rather than just observe.
Yeah, and that's what makes it your piece of artwork as well. It's not an artwork that an artist has almost given you and then it's up to you to just look at it. You become part of the artwork. It's yours. So when you go out with one of Manifest AR's apps, it will be different every time, and it's yours and it's personal, and that's really exciting about it.
Well, thanks a lot, Jen, and indeed all the artists here. Thank you for coming and doing the work. I hope many people will come down. As I say, we're going to talk about one particular piece of work in the next hour of the programme. If you want to talk about that, or indeed discuss what we've been talking about so far, do give us a ring or an email or a text. You're listening to BBC Radio Merseyside.
Local, national and international news from the heart of Liverpool.
BBC Radio Merseyside.
And this is the Philip Sloan, but coming from FACT on Wood Street rather than our normal studios. If you want to join us, as I say, ring 0151 709 9333. Now with the news, here's Mark Geyer.
The government is making clear that the widow and son of soldier Lee Rigby, murdered at Woolwich in South London last month, will receive cash help from the state. There's been concern that the family of the serviceman may not receive their full allowance as he wasn't killed on active duty. But the Leader of the Commons, Andrew Lansley, told MPs they would be provided for.
The widow and child of drummer Lee Rigby will receive financial support, as do the family of all those who have died in service, in the service of this country. They may include a widow's pension, a bereavement grant, payments via the Armed Forces Compensation Scheme, a survivor's guaranteed income payment and child payments.
The United Nations says that at least 93,000 people are known to have been killed in the two-year civil war in Syria, but warns that the real number is likely to be far higher.
Heikki Johansson showed me round fracking futures. Heikki, what gave you the idea of doing this? What is it exactly?
Because there's a lot of discussion about gas schist, so fracking in English. Shale gas exploration, and so this is something which happens everywhere, also in England. And we thought we want to explore the shale gas under FACT, to make it an energy independent art organization.
It's an extraordinary exhibit. Just explain what is there, because you walk into this room which is transformed.
Yeah, it's a whole landscape. It's a miniature landscape which really recreates, our biggest efforts on this in this gallery space. Our biggest effort, our search for energy, somehow, which becomes like really like a performance, like a sort of movie set, sort of like a cinematic landscape. I really like it because in this environment, people use it. I heard today the term again, augmented reality. I thought, yeah, that's what we're doing. We augment the reality, which is already quite crazy in this gallery environment, to make it into performance, fracking into performance.
Are you trying to make a statement about fracking? Are you taking sides, or are you just saying this is what it is?
I think we really can't take sides. I mean, because there is activism that does it much better, and as in this environment, we have also a different role to play, because if I don't mind. We have also take other works where we take side or not. It can always happen. It's very fluid. We like to activate, obviously, the minds of the people with the work. But that's maybe the difference between activating and activating. So I think what's important is that we don't take a standpoint, because we have to leave it open for the interpretation and the feelings and the emotions for people to react to it. Really.
Combines very many different things. It's sound. I mean, part of it is the sound alone. Yeah. There's lighting, the way it's lit, the actual movement of the drill, this pond, this extraordinary pond that you put there. So there's so many different, and the feeling on your feet. There are so many different things impressing upon you that it's bound to affect your emotions one way or another.
Yeah, that's the idea. But even in reality, that's the weird thing. Even in reality, I believe that these processes have all the ingredients which are actually related to our emotion. It sounds a bit silly, but there's fire, there is smoke, there is vibration of the earth. We talk about earthquakes in the case of Blackpool here in Liverpool. And all that is there, and the public debate. So everything is already, it's a wonderful, wonderful situation to tap into a kind of, emotional mindset already. And that's what kind of amplifying in the gallery space, really. It's kind of like a repetitive performance. It's an ongoing performance. It's like the main actor is a typical fracking rig. And it's really like a, like an actor. It starts to light up. It moves. It transforms itself. It's a kind of like a moving sculpture. There's light, etc. Lightning, changing fog. It's like there's vibrations which we create under the floor. So the whole landscape is changing in 10 minutes, from light to sound to oral effects, olfactory effects even. So.
Extraordinary piece of artwork, and really really thrilling to go to. I would recommend it. That's the artist Heiko Hansen, who with Helen Evans has created Fracking Futures, a recreation of a fracking site, and it's here, as I say, in the main gallery at FACT in Liverpool. Two energy firms involved with fracking are Quadrilla and iGas. Quadrilla wants to drill for gas near Southport, and iGas already has a licence to explore the process of fracking in Ellesmere Port. We invited both firms, of course, to take part in the programme, but unfortunately no one was available. But David Morris, MP for Morecambe and Lonsdale, is on the line to us. David, you want to see more shale gas exploration, is that right?
Yes, I do. I do. I think that it's more than likely going to be the answer to our short-term energy problems. It's readily available, and we have trillions and trillions of tonnes under it. And underneath, I should say, not under it, all across the bay and in the vicinity.